If you have your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 24. And if you found your place, if you don't mind, if it's difficult to get up and down, understand that. But if you can stand with me, we'll read three verses of Scripture together. 24:24, Acts 24:24. I think this is one of the most solemn passages in all of the New Testament. In this passage, we have a man by the name of Felix who made a very bad decision. We have another man by the name of the Apostle Paul who has now been brought before Felix to preach a message of the gospel. We pick up reading here in verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the offender, officer, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came to Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Pray with me, please. Frank Goodson, will you pray, please? Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The Apostle Paul has been tried by the Roman government. Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, has now asked Paul to come back into the palace and to explain to him this gospel message that Paul has been preaching. Felix probably is doing so at the request of his wife, because Drusilla, as the Bible said in verse 24, was a Jewish person or Jewish woman. And she had heard of this message that Paul had been preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so Felix wanted, brought Paul out of jail, brought him back out of prison, brought him into the palace and said, "Now, preach to me or tell me what you've been preaching about." As Paul begins to preach here in verse number 24, we find that Felix is touched. He's convicted. And he makes a startling statement here that I believe many people today are making. Many folk today have this misconception in their mind that they will get saved when they want to get saved. Many people today say, "Well, I'll wait till a more convenient time. I'll wait till a better season. I'll wait till the church is not as full. I'll do it at home," or whatever. And my friend, you do not have that luxury. You do not have that choice. When the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart, then is the time to be saved. You do not have a long time. You do not have multiple opportunities. I believe this. I believe that the Bible says that there is a day that a man will sin away his day of grace. In other words, God will deal with you one last time. And when you close that door, you'll never be saved. And so today, I'm preaching on this subject, almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. I want to give you about three things this morning. Look at the life of Felix here. This happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Three things that start with the letter C. First of all, Felix was confronted. Notice the Bible says that here in these verses that Paul in verse 25 reasoned with Felix and his wife Drusilla. The word reason means to mingle with thought. It means to discuss. It means to preach. And Paul, my friend, used this time with the governor here to preach the message of the gospel. In fact, the way in which the Bible reads it, Paul says here in verse 24, that as Paul preached here in verse 24, there are a couple of things that hit Felix right between the eyes. Look what the Bible said. First of all, what did Paul preach about in verse number 25? He preached, first of all, about righteousness. You don't hear a lot about righteous living anymore. My friend, let me tell you something. The word righteousness simply means the state of him as he ought to be. It refers to the condition of man. It is what God is and what man is not. God is a holy God, and man is a sinful being. Listen, I think Paul perhaps preached some things out of the New Testament, out of the Old Testament. I believe maybe back in Ezra chapter 9, verse 15, Paul may have said, "O God, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous." Psalm 50, verse 6 says, "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Listen to me. God is not the man upstairs. He's not some Santa Claus sitting up in heaven. He's not some grandfather image with a long white beard. He is a holy and a righteous God. My friend, listen to me today. He is so holy, he is so righteous, that he cannot even look upon sin. The day in which Jesus died on the cross, God had to turn his back on his only son because his son took your sin and my sin and laid it on him, and God could not look upon his own son. Sin can never enter into the presence of God. Oh, but the church and the world today doesn't see that truth. The church and the world today, they want to see, our churches have got so worldly and the world has gotten so churchy, it's hard to determine the two. It's hard to distinguish which is which. I mean, listen, friend, I don't know about you, but I still believe, I know this, that God wants his people to be a holy people. God wants his people to be a righteous people. I know we can never obtain that in our flesh, but I believe we ought to strive to live a holy and a godly and a sinless life. Amen. I think Paul perhaps preached about the fact that the righteousness of God, that God, listen to me now, God hates sin. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You hear me out today. What man calls an accident, God calls an abomination. What man calls a blunder, God calls it blindness. What man calls a chance, God calls it a choice. What man calls an error, God calls it enmity. What man calls it trifle, God calls it a tragedy. What man says is nothing but weakness, God says it is wickedness. The bottom line is this: God is holy, man is unholy. God is pure, man is unpure. God is sinless, man is sinful. God is righteous, man is unrighteous. Folks today don't want to hear that though. They want to hear how good you are and pat you on the back and kiss you on the cheek and send you out your way and let you die and go to hell. My friend, let me tell you something. is that the only way you can ever obtain the righteousness of God is through Jesus Christ. His righteousness is imputed unto us. His righteousness is given unto us. When God looks at us today as a saved sinner, He doesn't see my sin, but He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. Maybe Paul told Felix about what the Bible said about their own righteousness. Isaiah 64:6. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And you read and study that out. That word filthy rags there have to do with putrefying filthy rags, maybe leprous rags, uncleanness, ungodliness. Maybe Felix was brought to face, listen to me now, he was brought to face that the fact that he was a lost sinner and he was on his way to hell, my friend, maybe, just maybe, that God spoke to his heart that day and Felix began to tremble. Felix got under Holy Ghost conviction and Felix's day of salvation was that day right there. But Felix rejected God that day. I think Paul probably told Felix that he could go to heaven one or two different ways. One way is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The other way is through your righteousness. But my friend, let me tell you something. Your righteousness is not going to get you there. Your righteousness, my friend, is not going to get you to heaven. Try as you may, be as good as you are. Give to the poor. Walk in the crop walk. Give to the needy. Go down yonder and work on the Habitat for Humanity. Give money into the church house. Go ahead and give to a missionary. But my friend, let me tell you, all of your goodness, all of the good things you've ever done are as filthy, putrefying rags in the sight of God. The only way you can ever be saved is through the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. And you say, what about this man Felix? Let me tell you a little bit about him from history. This thing hit Felix right between the eyes because Felix was known for his excessive lifestyle. He engaged in drunken orgies. He maintained his power through brutality and murder. He assassinated his enemies. You didn't go along with him. He just had you killed. He was a wicked man. Maybe these words spoke to his heart. Maybe they cut right down to his heart. Maybe he realized that he was lost. Maybe he realized that he was unsaved. Maybe he realized that he was ungodly. Maybe he realized that his lifestyle was not according to what God wants it to be. And Felix trembled and he was under conviction that day. But notice something else Paul preached about. For the Bible said there in verse 25, he reasoned righteousness, and the second word is temperance. That word is self-control. When Paul preached about righteousness, he was dealing with their character. When he was talking about who they were before God, when he speaks of temperance, he's talking about their conduct or how they lived before men. When Paul began to speak about their self-control, he hit this couple right between the eyes. Just like Felix was lacking in self-righteousness, he was lacking in self-control. The name Felix, his name means happy. But he was everything but a happy man. He'd been married 3 times. He lived a life of constant orgies and parties. He was in deep debt. He was always in trouble with Emperor Nero. To put it in perspective, to be in trouble with Nero would be like being in trouble with the devil himself. And yet this man, here the Bible refers to in verse 24, this woman Drusilla, this was his third wife. This woman here, she was the youngest daughter of King Herod Agrippa I. According to Jewish history, she was a very beautiful woman. When Felix saw her, she was already married to somebody else. But when he saw her, he wanted her. And he hired a sorcerer to go and conjure up and make her believe that it was the will for her to leave her husband and come and marry Felix, and she did so. Anyway, they were living in sin. Paul addressed Felix, he was speaking to a man that lost his dignity, his morality, and his decency. When he looked at Drusilla and preached to her, he was speaking to a woman that lost her decency, her modesty, and her purity. He was speaking to a couple who were morally bankrupt and thoroughly evil. One of the tragedies, my friend, of this modern times we live in, there are few people today that want to be confronted with their sin. There are few people today. It's hard to find a sinner today. You walk down the street. I've asked people before. I've asked people, have you ever seen yourself lost without God? And they'll look at me. I've had them look at me and say, no, I've never seen that. I've always been a good person all my life. Had a lady visit our church one time years ago, and she was of a different denomination. Played the organ in her church. I went to visit her that week, and as a sat in her house, and she began to tell me all of what she did for her church and about her musical abilities and about her organ playing and everything. And I said, ma'am, have you ever seen yourself lost and on your way to hell? She said, no, I've always been a good person all my life. Friend, let me tell you something. Hell is full of good people today. Hell is full of people that put their lock, stock, and barrel. They put all their cards on the table and said, I am a good person. If so-and-so's going to heaven, I'm going to heaven because I'm just as good as they are. Honey, let me tell you something. It's not based on how good you are. It's not based on how bad you are. We were born sinners, and sin is upon us. Condemnation is upon us. But thank God, Jesus died for sinners today. Notice the third thing that Paul preached about. He preached temperance, righteousness, and he preached about the judgment to come. In our world today, lying has become a credibility gap. Adultery has become an affair. Stealing has become embezzlement. Drunkenness has become a disease. Sodomy has become an alternate lifestyle. And the murderous practice of abortion has become a woman's right. Fornication has become flirtation. Can I have an amen? Amen. But there's one word that sums it all up. And that one word is S-I-N. Sin. Oh, the average person doesn't want to face the fact. But friend, let me say that we're all sinners. Some are saved sinners. Some are lost sinners. And I get so tired of hearing this. I'll just say it right now. When you talk about sin and you talk about what the Bible says, people will look at you and they'll say, you're judging me. I'm not judging. The Bible says that we're already under condemnation. We're already on our way to hell. Listen, friend, it's not a matter of how bad you've been. It's a matter of how good Jesus is. Then I noticed the third thing that he preached about, and I'm going to have to hasten on. He preached about the judgment that is to come. Every one of us in this building this morning is going to face death at some point in time, unless the rapture takes place. Can I say that one more time? Every last one of us. If the rapture doesn't take place in the next 100 years, every last one of us is going to face death. Some, your days, you have more days behind you than you have days in front of you. And the Bible said, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, help me out, folks, the judgment. We'll come back to this in just a few minutes. But one day, my friend, I will stand before God. You will stand before God. Beloved, listen, it's not based on what you have done in this world, how good you have been. What have you done with Jesus is the matter. Second of all, quickly, and I have to hasten, Felix was concerned. He was confronted with his sin, but notice he was concerned. We're told that Paul preached to them about the judgment that is to come. I'm sure Paul told him about a place called hell. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and by the way, Luke is the same author of the book of Acts. Luke gives us a vivid description of that lake of fire, or excuse me, the place of hell. Luke describes it in Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man and there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus. Both of them died. And in hell, the Bible said, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried and said unto Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. My friend, hell is a place of unquenchable fire. It is a place of memory and remorse. Listen to me. One thing that will live on forever is your memory. For the child of God, I don't believe that God will allow us to remember the bad stuff, but he'll let us remember the good stuff. But in hell, listen, in hell, the Bible said, when Abraham looked over at that rich man, he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus the evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. But he said, remember. Remember. So you see, memory is one thing that eternity will not destroy. I believe you, if you die and go to hell, you remember this sermon. I believe you remember every time somebody gave you a gospel tract. I believe every time that you have said no to Jesus, you'll remember that in hell. I believe you remember every time that the preacher tried his best and tried to give you an invitation to come and be saved. I believe you remember that in hell. You'll be tormented with memory for all the ages. And you'll say, oh God, I wish I had one more chance. I wish I could sit in church one more time. And it's too late. Too late. What is hell like? Intense, unsatisfied thirst. I don't know about you folks, but when I am thirsty, nothing quenches my thirst like water. You ever notice that? I mean, soft drinks, Gatorade, all that stuff is okay. But when you're really, really thirsty, what do you want? You want a drink of water. And in hell, there won't be any water. There will not be a drop of water. He told them, and I'm going to have to hasten on, but he told them about the lake of fire that is to come. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said in chapter 19, as John looks there and he sees, and the Bible said, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they stood before God at the white throne judgment. I'll come back to that in just a minute, but I want to hasten on. He told them about the white throne judgment. Then last of all, Felix was condemned. We'll come back here. Notice in verse 25. What did he say that condemned him? He said, go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I wonder how many. I could tell you story after story. I've told some of them here. About people that in church services, lost people, that said no one too many times. People that I've had to stand preach your funeral before, knowing that they probably died without Jesus Christ. People that I've tried, put my arm around and begged them to come to Jesus and prayed for them and agonized with them, and they said, no, preacher, not today, maybe another time. Dr. George W. Truett, the longtime pastor down in Texas, told a story. He preached on the subject today, if you'll hear his voice. There was a 14-year-old boy sitting in the service that morning. And Dr. Truett said, God said today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. And Dr. Truett went to that boy, 14 years old, and said, son, today is the day of salvation. And the boy looked at him and said, preacher, not today. Maybe tomorrow. If I need you, I'll call you. And Dr. Truett closed that meeting out. He got on a train to go to a revival meeting. When Wednesday night came, the young boy, 14 years old, was in the hospital. fighting for his life. The boy's mother told Mrs. Truett, "Can you get in touch with your husband? Could you have him to come to the hospital? My boy's dying. He needs Jesus." Mrs. Truett got in touch with her husband. He said, "I'll be in on the train first thing Monday morning, and I'll go straight to the hospital at 5 o'clock. As Dr. Truett walked in the hospital, he inquired where the boy was and walked in his room. He was burning up with a fever. Dr. Truett leaned over in that bed and said, "Son, Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. This is the preacher I got back in time. Will you not take Jesus today? And he'll be the best thing you could ever do." And the boy muttered, "Not today. Maybe tomorrow." My friend, he died lost without Jesus. Go back with me, please, to this story. Here you have a couple. You have this man, this woman, and Paul preached unto them the judgment of God. He told them time and time again there was coming a day. Now you say, well, did he get saved? Look in verse number 27. "But after 2 years, Pontius Festus came to Felix, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound." 2 years after he preached that sermon, he still was lost. There's no indication that Felix ever got saved. Drusilla died in 79 AD when Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii erupted, and she was in the city along with her two children. All the ashes and the volcanic dust and the lava that came down buried her and her two kids in that city. And chances are Drusilla never got saved. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. This morning, God may be speaking to somebody in here. God may be speaking to your heart. Go with me real quickly. I want you to envision this morning, you are sitting in a courtroom in heaven. On the grandstands, you are saved. You're sitting in the grandstands, you're not there because of your sin that was judged for on Calvary. You're sitting there as a bystander, watching the events as they roll in. One by one, the doors open, and a person walks in, unclothed, naked. You see, there not be any clothes at the judgment seat, at the white throne judgment. They walk in, and sitting on the judge's bench is God Almighty. And as he sits there, one by one, they come. He looks over at the angels and says, "Get the book of deeds." And all of a sudden, this huge book is opened. And they turn to the section of this person's life, Felix. And all of a sudden, everything that he's ever done is now flashed before the eyes of the people in heaven. And he says, "Oh no, God, please. I don't want them to see that. I don't want them to see the adultery. I don't want them to see the fornication. I don't want them to see the lewdness and the wickedness and the orgies. Oh God, please don't let them see that." Too late. And all in the grandstands of heaven, they see the deeds of this lost man. And then God looks over another angel and says, "Take the book of life." And he looks through the book of life. And I believe that there are two books in heaven. There's a book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life. And the Lord says, "Do you find his name in the book of life?" "Yes, Lord. Felix was born on such and such a date and such a year." Second angel, "Look in the Lamb's book of life. Do you find his name in the Lamb's book of life?" And his angel begins to thumb through the pages. He comes down. He says, "Lord, there's no record of his birth." But Felix says, "Dear God, listen. I'm the one that's in the Bible. I'm the one that stood, that Paul preached to. Dear God, I'm sure you remember that day that he stood in my palace. That day that he preached. Angel, does he have any record of his birth? Did he accept Jesus as his Savior?
Lord, there is no record of him. But God, please, you got to give me another chance. I was the governor. I was important. I had a place in the Roman Empire. I am somebody. Angels, there's no record of his birth. Come and bind him hand and foot. And as they come and bind Felix hand and foot, he is screaming, God, please, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance. And he is bound, his arms are bound, his feet are bound. Read your Bible. And he is cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, why does a man stand before at the white throne judgment? Why? He's already in hell. Yes, sir. But just like a man commits a crime today and goes to the jailhouse, that's what hell is. But then one day he stands before the judge, and the judge issues out the sentence, and the sentence is based on his deeds. Listen, friend, the more you reject Jesus Christ, the more severe your punishment will be in the lake of fire. To him much is given, much shall be required. And every time you hear a message like this, and you get out and you walk out here, you're trampling the blood of Jesus under your feet. Listen, my friend, God does not take that lightly. Musicians, come, please. Felix, what would you say to these people today? Make sure you're saved.